Well, take your Bibles with me this morning. We have a very rich study that we want to continue dealing with the issue of spiritual gifts. If you would turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 in your Bible or in the text of Scripture, I hope you have that you can put in front of you, and let the Word of God be made alive as the Spirit of God opens our eyes to what is here. I want to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 12 some selected verses dealing with this issue of spiritual gifts. The truth is this. When Jesus Christ ascended back to heaven, the Word of God in Ephesians chapter 4 says He gave gifts to men. That means that not only did His Holy Spirit come to live within us, but He gave us spiritual gifting that enables us to live for Him, to serve Him, to be used by Him for His glory. Verse 1 of 1 Corinthians 12. Paul says to the Corinthian believers, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware." The point here is very clear. In the world that they lived in the world that we live in, it is very possible to be totally unaware of spiritual gifts, not to value them at all. After we're saved and find the value of knowing Christ, God begins to open our eyes to see the things that really do have value. And Paul is saying to these Christians, I want you to be aware of how God has gifted you, how He's made you rich in the things that matter for in the things of God. Verse 4, please. Now, there are varieties of gift, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of ministries, but the same Lord. There are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. And based on the inference of this threefold division, we're suggesting that spiritual gifts break down into the sign gifts or manifestational gifts listed here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and into the ministry gifts that we will see listed in Ephesians 4, and into the motivational gifts that we'll study this morning in Romans chapter 12. Reading on, please. Verse 7 says, "But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, and to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healing by the one Spirit. And to another the effecting of miracles. And to another prophecy. And to another the distinguishing of spirits. To another various kinds of tongues. And to another the interpretation of tongues." Here we see the listing of what we are calling the sign gifts. These were real, miraculous gifts given by the Holy Spirit in the early days of the New Testament church. They had purpose. They were necessary to the effective functioning of the body of Christ. Verse 11 says, "But to one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually, just as He wills." We've emphasized that the Holy Spirit gave a gift to each believer for the common good of the body. In our previous study, we have suggested to you that these sign gifts, these manifestational gifts, these gifts that were evidently supernatural and at work among the early members of the church, that these gifts have now passed away or have ceased. Turn in your Bible or your text over to chapter 13. Look at verse 8 of 1 Corinthians. to 13. 13:8 says, love never fails, but if there are gifts of prophecy, they will be done away. If there are tongues, they will cease. If there is knowledge, it will be done away. When? Why? Reading on, verse 9, for we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will be done away. We have suggested to you that these sign gifts were real, they were supernatural, they had a purpose, they gave the Word of God to the early church into those local areas where many of the churches, even most of the believers, had never seen any physical written copy of the Word of God. But these gifts enable that truth to come into the body before the Scriptures were completed. And we do understand the perfect here, not only to refer to the Lord Jesus in His person, but to the completion of the Word of God. When the Word of God was finished, when the revelation was completed by the Holy Spirit, the need of these sign gifts in the early church ceased. And so we suggest to you that when you look to define or to discern, to understand what your spiritual gift is today, that you will not go to 1 Corinthians 12. So many do. And that is between them and the Lord. We honor them and their genuineness before the Lord. But in our understanding of the New Testament, these gifts, these sign gifts, have passed away because their purpose no longer is needed. So the question becomes, if I have a spiritual gift today that is operating in me, what is it? Go with me now to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Just back a few pages in your Bible to Romans chapter 12. And let's answer that question. What then, or where do I find the gift that will be operative in my life today? We have a list. And the Scriptures suggest that you've been given one of these gifts. I'm looking in chapter 12 of Romans at verse 3. For through the grace given to me, I say to every one of you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think. Now stop a moment with me, because as we read and studied in previous weeks in 1 Corinthians 12, the problem in the Corinthian church was confusion based upon the pride of comparing my gift with your gift and suggesting, well, I'm more important or I'm more spiritual because I have a gift that is stronger or showier, more powerful than yours. I must be more important to God than you are. And you remember how Paul argues strongly there that the weaker, comely, less attractive gifts are just as important to God. And there should be no division in the body, no competition or jealousy. Well, isn't it interesting? That problem seems to continue in the church, throughout the early church. It seems to have continued into our very day. There, if you're not careful, there's the spirit among Christians. Well, you know, God has just gifted me more than you. I'm more spiritual than you are. I'm needed more than you are. And that spirit is lethal to the power of the church, to what Jesus said, by this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Reading then again the warning not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think, verse 3 says, so as to have sound judgment. What is sound judgment about the spiritual gifts? It is that they're all needed, they're equally valued, and that should be the controlling attitude in a healthy body of believers. To have sound judgment as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. For just as we are many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. And now begins the gift of what we, the list of what we want to call the motivational gifts. Verse 6, since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith. If service, in his serving. Or he who teaches in his teaching. Or he who exhorts in his exhortation. He who gives with liberality. He who leads with diligence. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Look at, let your eyes run back over these verses. Here are the seven motivational gifts. Prophecy, service, teaching, exhortation, giving, leaders, leading our administration, and showing mercy. We began our study of these last week by looking at the first three. If you'll turn on page 2 in the outline that you were given, let me remind you, we're seeing four things about each of the gifts. The first two things is positive. The second two things is negative. In the positives, we're going to look or list the desire of the gift. What does this gift desire to do? What is the ability that comes with the gift? And then in the negatives, what is the inability of the gift? What is the thing that this person just struggles to, even though this is a spiritual gift, if you're not walking in the Spirit, you just struggle because of your gifting, and it leads to a frustration that we're describing by a statement. So reviewing, just let your eyes pass over this on pages 2 and 3. We saw last week the gift of prophecy. This is not the Old Testament gift of prophecy, which was to foretell the future. We suggested to you last week that this gift has a desire, which is to declare the truth. This Christian is motivated to speak God's truth whenever, wherever possible. This is their heart. And we saw in Acts 20, this is what Paul did in the time he spent with the Ephesians. Secondly, the ability of this gift is to recognize and to discern the truth. Biblically, but not just biblically, in life in general. And we suggested that because of the sensitivity to truth, this person can be kind of tough to be around, because if you're not in the truth, the Word or your life, they're going to make you uncomfortable pretty quickly. Because they can tell whether or not it's their gift. They're not being judgmental. It's their gift. Sometimes you just want to run away or even get mad at them because you want to say, well, how do you know that? Spiritual insight based on this gift. We said, we emphasized last time, this person is not afraid to confront people verbally. What's the negative on this gift? They have a real inability to tolerate any lack of truth. This Christian is concerned, even angered, whenever people fail to speak or act in the truth. The frustration would be expressed like this. Don't you understand? The only thing that can really help people is to make them deal with what God says. In other words, this Christian is basically of the attitude, let's hit them with the word, even if it kills them. Let's blow them away with a word. That's what'll heal them. Well, you know what? That's the truth. But we're going to see that, especially in a marriage, one of the great things, if you have the gift of prophecy, is to be married to someone who doesn't have the gift, who can say, whoa, whoa, whoa. Let's don't kill everybody with the truth. Let's balance that out. Let's don't ever leave the truth. Let's don't ever fail to speak it. But let's don't blow them away with it before we have opportunity to help them. All right, the second gift, that of service. We saw that the desire of this gift is to show the love of Christ by giving practical help to people in need. This Christian is motivated to love people the way Jesus often did, by meeting their needs. This is their heart. Let me emphasize that again. Your spiritual gift is the way you want to return the love of Christ to Him. You love Him because He first loved you. We want to return that love, but the way we do it flows through our spiritual gift. So to us, whatever we're doing in our gift, we're loving Christ. This person does what Jesus so often did by meeting practical needs. Now we saw in 1 Peter 4 that these gifts fall out into two broad categories, and that is speaking or serving. The first gift is a speaking gift, prophecy. The second gift is a serving gift. Isn't that interesting? The ability of this gift is to recognize the need of people. We emphasize that this Christian is enabled to see where people have outward and practical needs. They don't wait to be asked. They just show up. They just show up. They initiate meeting your need. The negative on this is the inability to tolerate Christians who do not help others, who maybe just want to keep talking with their words and preaching the truth, but never demonstrating the practical love of Jesus by helping. This Christian is often tempted to criticize those who don't help others. The frustration would be expressed in this statement, don't you understand? People must see the love of Jesus as well as hear it. People must see it as well as hear it. And often that would be so applicable to a church as a whole. It's not enough for us to stand here and to proclaim the word, what Brad referred to yesterday in the manna ministry, where food is taken. That's where it's seen. Let us show you the love of Jesus, and let's combine that with the speaking of the truth. So, the gift of service. Then thirdly, the gift of teaching. We saw that the desire of this gift is to document or validate the Word of God by detailed study. This Christian is motivated to dig into the Word for its eternal treasure and to teach that truth to others. This is their heart. This is what they want to do, to show the love of Christ. The ability of this gift is the desire to do the detailed long-term study. They don't make themselves do this detailed study. They love it. They're drawn to it. Long-term study, which is required to rightly divide the word of truth. Now let's say this in observation as we did last week. And some of you are thinking this or being reminded of this as we go through this material. Every Christian does these gifts, all of them, one time or the other. Just like this issue of studying the Bible. Every Christian is supposed to study. Every Christian is supposed to proclaim the truth or help others. But that's not your gift. When it is your gift, this is the motivation of your heart. This is where you come from to minister for Christ. We said last week that one with the gift of teaching is enabled to analyze and interpret the scriptures. They focus on sound doctrine. This Christian normally has many books, even a library, devoted to biblical knowledge and is personally diligent in reading and study. What is the inability of the gift of teaching? This person finds it very difficult to tolerate the lack of accuracy or doctrinal purity in the teaching or preaching of God's Word. Now, listen to me just a moment. This gift would have the intolerance of, say, even somebody who was a prophet, and they just got in everybody's face with the Word of God, and yet the way they're saying the gospel is not exactly right. Well, the person with the gift of teaching is going to say, whoa, it's great that you're confronting people with the gospel, but you've got to be very sure that you're stating the gospel correctly. And so one of the results is that this Christian will not accept anything that's taught till they study it for themselves. They differ with those who are teaching or preaching. They often become critical of them. I mentioned my own dear mother with this gift of teaching. My mom, without any hesitation, I can say, basically always knew more of the scripture than any pastor she ever had for over 50 years. But she never gloated in that. She never embarrassed them. She never criticized. I would often hear her praying for them, but never criticizing the person who did not have that, the fruit of many years of detailed study of the Word of God. The frustration of this gift would be expressed like this. Don't you understand? People cannot be saved or grow spiritually unless they hear the unadulterated Word, the pure milk of the Word. All right, let's come today to the following gifts. The fourth gift is that of exhortation. If you will take your pen or pencil and write in some of these thoughts as we move through here. What is the desire of this gift? What is their heart if you have the gift of exhortation? Write it in. It is to encourage. Encourage other Christians to walk in the light and to grow in the knowledge of Christ. This Christian is motivated to motivate others in the Word. They want to get involved with others, to walk along beside them, to catch them when they fall. This is their heart. Encouragement. Don't quit. Stay at it. Look at where you could arrive. And in Acts chapter 20, this is exactly what the Apostle Paul says. He says, I was with you day by day, day and night, going house to house. I didn't fail to declare to you one thing that was right. Well, that could be the gift of teaching or prophecy, but also that would help you grow. And he says there, I commend you to the Word of God, which is able to build you up. Person with the gift of exhortation wants to see you built up in your faith. And so, secondly, they have the ability to be sensitive. To be sensitive to and to identify areas of needed spiritual growth in the lives of others. They see it. Just like one with the gift of prophecy might see sin. Oh, the prophet can see sin and sense it. Well, one with the gift of exhortation can see where you need to grow. And they see how you could do that. They identify it. They're gifted to be able to put this in front of you. So we've said this Christian devotes much time and energy in the lives of others. They are involved in many relationships outside their own marriage and family. If you're married to a person with a gift of encouragement, they're always on the move. They're always targeting somebody. I've got to go see this person. They need my help. This Christian likes to give gifts of encouragement, helpful books, literature on spiritual growth. They'll hand you a book and say, "Here, read this. Read, you got to read this because," and then they'll in some way say, "It will move you from here to here. Read this. Let me put it in your hand." Then they'll often follow up. "How are you doing? How are you coming on reading that? Let's talk about it when you get to a certain place." Encouragement. Well, what's the negative on this gift? The inability of this gift is to tolerate their fellow Christians who have no desire or willingness to grow spiritually. Just like it's not fun to be around a prophet if you've got sin in your life, it's not fun to be around one with a gift of encouragement if you're not interested in growing. They can't tolerate you not wanting to grow. What's wrong with you? This person early on has to learn you can't do it for people. You have a gift of encouragement. You just want to keep pushing and pushing. And sometimes you find that the push becomes a discouragement. Because you can't make people grow who don't want to grow. That's the Holy Spirit's job. But the gift here is the coordination between what the Holy Spirit is doing and what He enables this person to see and to be the human factor in encouragement. How powerful, how encouraging is this gift within the body of Christ? You ever had somebody in your life that just wouldn't quit believing in you? Even when you didn't believe in you? You ever had somebody that just wouldn't let you lay down and feel sorry for yourself and not? What a wonderful gift that person is, the gift of encouragement. The negative, again, is the inability to tolerate those who have no desire to grow. And then here's the frustration. Don't you understand where the people in our church should be spiritually? And so there's always this push, this impetus to move toward where we ought to be. And again, the beauty of the gift is the coordination of what the Holy Spirit alone can do, but what the Holy Spirit is ready to do. And this person is the voice of that encouragement. Alright, the gift of exhortation then. The fifth gift is that of giving. And what a practical and wonderful gift this is. What is the desire of this gift? It is to provide. To provide the financial means to carry on and to advance the cause of Christ. This Christian is motivated to take what God has given to them and to give it to others. I can hear some people saying, "How crazy can you get?" And the world sure feels that. You're going to do what? Don't you know what you could do with that money for you? And you're going to do what? Send it around the world to someone you've never even met? Like the people in the Philippines right now. And we have opportunity to give to people who will use that money correctly. They're waiting to send that money to the pastors that have been wiped out. And they're trustworthy. We'll see the importance of that in just a second. This is their heart. Their heart is to give. And if you read 2 Corinthians 8, you remember how Paul lifted out the Macedonian Christians who had nothing. They had nothing. And yet Paul says, out of their poverty. The fact that a giver has nothing never stops them. They keep giving. To the point that they have nothing. It's their heart. The ability of this gift is to make the hard choice. To make the hard choice to take what could be used for themselves and to give it to others. This Christian is disciplined in financial matters. This Christian often lives on little. Or does not live on a higher level, which would be easily possible to them. They've got the money. They don't. You know, in America, that's kind of the rule. I know how much you've got by how much I see you spending on yourself. Well, this person totally breaks that rule. You'll never know how much they've got by looking at how much they spend on themselves. And this is very important here. This Christian has the ability to discern where their financial gifts would do the most good. They're going to be very careful. They're going to ask hard questions. They're going to do their research. And they're going to find people that will take the money that's given, whether it's a little bit or a lot. And sometimes they'll give a little to see what you do with that before they give you the lot. But they're going to see how you give if you're trustworthy. And that's why I recommend so much our dear friends in the Philippines. They're trustworthy. They're proven. They will see that the money get. If you're a giver, these are the things you're going to look for to see that the money fulfills its potential. The negative on this is the inability to tolerate Christians who don't give sacrificially. Notice, it's not that they're criticizing Christians who don't give. They criticize Christians who don't give sacrificially. Why aren't you doing what I'm doing? And so, the second statement here, inability to tolerate churches or Christian ministries which do not use God's money efficiently. This Christian can be very judgmental about how other Christians use their money. Frustration would be expressed something like this. Don't you understand what could be done for Christ if Christians just use their money to glorify God? And see, every one of these statements of frustration is a true statement. Because their gift is from God and it's part of their love for Christ, what they're hitting on in each of the gifts is true. It's just that if you're not walking in the Spirit and trusting God to deal with other people, let God deal with other people, you deal with you. If you're not doing that, you can get a real bad attitude toward others, even other Christians in the church. Right, the sixth gift is that of organization. Again, a very beautiful, practical gift, but one that tends to be somewhat overlooked. What is the positive on this gift? The desire to organize. To organize the people of God effectively. To effectively fulfill the plan and purposes of God. This Christian is motivated to be an administrator, to be used in behind the scenes organizational work. Every ministry, every work has the behind the scene person who literally is making it happen. They're not up front. They're not doing the speaking. They're not on camera. But they are so vital to success of what is being done. This Christian is not motivated by a desire for power or public recognition. As a matter of fact, they will run from that often. But this is their heart. Let me help you see how, if we organize in a certain way, we would be more effective. We'd get the job done. How I praise God for people I've known through the years who have had this gift in dealing within the body of Christ. Let's be honest. Far too many pastors, far too many Christian leaders are horrible at organization. They might be great at proclaiming the truth or even teaching or serving, whatever, but they're horrible in terms of organization. They're wasteful. And so every truly good organization, that's one thing I personally, and I'll just say this as a personal opinion, no organization is perfect, but I've always appreciated the Billy Graham evangelistic organization. If you know anything about them, they have given proper place to efficient organization and to stewardship of money. And many an evangelist or evangelistic work has gone under because they did not do those things. The ability of this gift is to function as an efficient manager of God's people. This person can see where people can fit into the task. They know how to put people at the right place to get the job done. The negative inability is once again to tolerate inefficient management within the church, which hinders the cause of Christ. This Christian can offend others in the effort to get things done efficiently or in a Christ-honoring way. Their frustration can come out by saying things to people that are evident to them. Can't you see how wasteful? Can't you see how time, energy, money, people are being wasted? If you did this, look at what would happen here. And sometimes the way they do that can even be offensive. Because the person, listen to me now, often those of us in the church, maybe most of the time, we're all genuine. What we're doing is genuine. But you know, in my case, I might be functioning in a genuinely inefficient way. I'm genuinely inefficient. So this person genuinely tries to talk to me about efficiency. Sometimes that conversation doesn't get very far if it's not controlled by the Holy Spirit. That's the whole point here, is coming to appreciate others and their gifts. So we've emphasized that they can give offense often in the way they approach others. The frustration of this gift, don't you understand what God's people could do if they worked to their potential? This person sees potential, knows how to put it together. Okay? The final gift is that of mercy, showing mercy. The positive on this gift is, and write it in please, to show the love of Christ by being sensitive and providing help to the inward hurts of people in need. This is very similar to the one who has a gift of service. The one who has a gift of service sees the outward practical needs. This person sees the inward needs. This Christian is motivated to help people see that the love of Christ for them is the answer to the inner needs of their life. This is their heart. This is their heart. The ability of this gift is to feel or sense the hurt of other people. This Christian is able to sense where people are hurting, often saying or asking, "Is something bothering you? May I help?" And like the gift of service, they don't wait till you I need something done. They come to you. This person doesn't wait till you tell them that inwardly you're really struggling or hurting. They see it. They come to you. It's their gift before the Lord. This Christian is sympathetic to a person's inner feelings. Let me just be very honest. If you have the gift of prophecy, sometimes you're not too sympathetic to how people are feeling about it. Your attitude is, well, if they do right, they'd feel right. Get on with it. This person starts at the other end of that spectrum and say, okay, I know you're really hurting. Now let's see if we can understand why you might be really hurting. Okay? This Christian is patient with the failures of other Christians. What's the negative? The inability to tolerate the insensitivity and impatience of some Christians toward those who are hurting. This Christian will question the maturity of those who speak the truth of the word but fail to show the love and patience of Jesus. So the attitude is, well, it's easy to beat people over the head with your Bible. You know, beat them over the head with the truth. It really takes the love of Christ to be patient and come in at the point of their hurt and lead them to the truth. The frustration would be expressed by these words: "Don't you understand? People must sense the love of Christ in us before they can believe that His love can really help them." On the final page, and we'll pick up this as our study continues later on, but just to give you an overview, write in these words or thoughts. How do you recognize your gift? Number one, you must be growing spiritually. It's a spiritual gift. If you're not growing spiritually, you don't need it. You know, if you're a Christian who wants to live worldly, you don't need your spiritual gift. You have it, but you don't need it. Because you're not growing. You're not interested in spiritual things. Secondly, you must be meaningfully involved in the body of Christ, since these gifts are given for the common good of the Christian. Lack of involvement in the mission and purpose of the church lead to difficulty in identifying the gifts. Again, if you're not involved in the mission of the church, you don't need the gifts. It's like having an army uniform, but you're not in the army. You know, what good does it do you? Thirdly, you must be responding to any ministry opportunities God places in front of you. One of the great ways you find out what your gift is, just say yes to need. Here's an opportunity. Respond. You might discover something bigger than the need that you're facing. Finally, you must listen to other members of the body of Christ. They will often recognize your gift before you and sometimes make comments about how God has gifted you. Be sure as well to ask your church leaders what gift they see in you. We'll talk more about how you practically recognize this gift. We'll move on to the ministry gifts when our study continues. But may I say it to you once again, it is so important in your marriage, with your children, and in the church for you to understand what your gifting is. You might have the same gift, but most likely, or most often, you will not. It helps you understand why people are seeing things, why they're motivated the way they are, when we all love Jesus. Dear friend, to love Jesus doesn't mean we all see things the same. It means we're motivated the same by His love. How we see things has to do with how He's gifted us. We need all the gifts to be healthy. I'm praying that the new year is going to bring a new attitude or a new level of appreciation as we value these gifts. Would you pray with me, please? Father, thank you for the gifts given by the Lord Jesus Himself through the Spirit for the good of the body. Father, I pray that at Riverwood we would have a new level of unity, a unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, because we begin to recognize the value of the other gifting that you've given to the body of Christ. Now, Father, thank you that we can move to the ordinance of baptism. Thank you for these young men who have made a personal decision about Jesus Christ in their life. And Father, I pray that today would be a very special day in each of their lives. In Jesus' name, amen.